Joshua chapter number 1. I said this morning that I really want to, tonight, really to gear much of this message toward the 42% of our church that are under 18 years of age. Now, there will be some application as we go along, really, for all of us. I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture from Joshua chapter number 1. I want to make a few observations that are very basic for all of us. Then I want to take us to a number of passages of Scripture that will illustrate the last point, really, of the message. Most of the message will be in the last point this evening, last Sunday morning, while teaching Sunday school on the life of Jonah. God impressed upon me a thought that I want to share with you tonight. We've touched on it briefly with those in the Sunday school class. And as I've meditated on the thought over and over and over again, I really feel like this is the burden for tonight. And I really want to target many of our children, though again, the application is for all of us as we look at the Word of God tonight. Here is the simple truth, and we'll look at it from a number of different angles, but the simple truth that God impressed on my heart is this. When you as children, let's look at the children, but really the applications for all of us. When you as children disobey your mom and dad, you are disobeying Almighty God in heaven. It is a sobering truth to think when I disobey. I could say it this way, ladies, when you disobey your husbands, you are disobeying Almighty God. We think that, hey, it's just mom. It's just dad. We think, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal to God. And we'll see this in the Word of God tonight. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From this wilderness, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You're familiar with the rest. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate therein day and night. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Some basic observations from this, really, these observations we see throughout the Word of God. Number one, I want us to see that God has a work that He wants to do. God has a work, He has a will, He has a work, a job that He wants to accomplish. In this particular passage of Scripture, obviously we know that God wants Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Look at verse number 10. We see Joshua commands the officers of the people saying, "Pass through the host, command the people saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." What God wanted to have done here was the children of Israel, His people, to go into the promised land and to possess it. All throughout the pages of the Word of God, we see God has a job that He wants to be done. In the New Testament, obviously, the local church, what God has given us a job to do, God has given us a job to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, so God, all throughout the Word of God, and now today, God has a job that He wants to do today. The apostles aren't here anymore. They have done their job. They've done their duty. They're gone. They're in heaven now. And here we are. Here we sit in Chester Springs, understanding that God has a work He wants done. Number two, I want us to see observation number two, and that is this. God uses men and women to accomplish this work. All right, obviously, God is speaking to Joshua. Joshua speaks to, verse number 10, the officers of the people, and speaks to the people and says, all right, here are some steps, here are some things that need to be done. Verse number 12, the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. All right, God uses, He chooses to use men and women. He chooses to use you and I to accomplish His work. Isn't it amazing that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it amazing that He entrusts with us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? He uses men and women to accomplish His work. Again, I say this, I don't want to overemphasize or nor be too simple here, but the fact of the matter is, many have gone on before. And we are the people of today. We are here on this planet for a purpose. God wants to use you and I just like He used Peter and James and John and the men that we see in the Word of God, just as He used them today. It's Tom and Frank and Brian. It's all of us. God wants to use us. He wants to use people to accomplish His work. I want you to see number 3. In getting the work accomplished, God places some people in leadership positions. In getting His work accomplished, God places some people in leadership positions. Moses is dead. We see this in verse number 1. Moses is dead, and God says to Joshua, all right, Joshua, you are the man now that I want to lead my people into the promised land. You are the one that I am putting in leadership. And by the way, He gave Joshua many promises. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, as Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of Hittites, the great sea. Hey, verse 5, there's not going to be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. It is important for us, as we look at what we all see in this passage of Scripture, but as we look at our lives, God places some people in leadership positions. In Joshua, it was Joshua that God said, you are the leader of my people. You are going to take them into the promised land. I want us to look at Joshua chapter number 5 just for a minute. In Joshua chapter number 5, Joshua comes face to face with the captain of the Lord's army. Verse number 13 of Joshua chapter number 5, and I want us to see that Joshua understood his place. He understood that he was God's captain on the ground. Joshua was God's captain right here on planet Earth. Joshua knew that he was called to lead God's people, but Joshua knew who really was in charge. God was in charge. Verse number 13 of Joshua chapter number 5, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It was important for the children of Israel to understand that Moses was dead, and now God ordained, He put Joshua in charge. Not because Joshua had any kind of talents or abilities, not because Joshua was any better than anybody else, but because Joshua is the man that God put in charge because God put him in charge. That's who God wanted. Obviously, on planet Earth, Joshua was the captain that God put in charge. In accomplishing His work, we see this again throughout the pages of the Word of God, God will put some people in leadership positions to help accomplish His work in the lives of those they lead and in the great scheme of what God wants to do. Now here's the truth I want us to focus on tonight, and I want us to look at the Word of God and see some examples, and that is this. When we refuse, and primarily my application will be to young people, when we refuse to follow God's agent or God's captain on the ground, if you would, in your life, we are refusing to follow God. If you are a dad here tonight, I want you to stand up. Now you stand up if your kids are present. Let's do it that way. Stand up if your children are present, if you are a dad here tonight. Every young person, you look at your dad. And I'm going to tell you this, based on the truth of the Word of God, you're looking at God's agent in your life. You are looking at God's captain in your home. God's agent. You may be seated. To refuse to obey the captain that God has put in your life is to refuse to obey Almighty God. You see, it was God that put Joshua in charge. It is God that ordained the dad to be the leader of the home. We could go here, and we won't. Maybe we'll go here at the end. But let me say this. Every one of us has people in authority over us. Ladies that are married, your husband is God's agent in your life. You say, hey, I don't like that. Take it up with God. Not because your husband is any better or any smarter. He's probably not any smarter. I can tell you that right now. All right. Not because he has any other talents or any other abilities, but because God has set it up and God says, this is how it is. Now I want to look at the Word of God tonight. I don't know that we'll have time to look at every illustration, but I want you to see how important it is to God that God's people follow His agent, His captain that He set up for our good. He sets it up for our good to lead us in the way He'd have us to go. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter number 12. Numbers chapter number 12. In Numbers 12, we read the story of Miriam and Aaron. Numbers 12 and verse number 1. God ordained Moses to be His agent. Moses was His captain on the ground. Moses was God's choice. The Bible says in Numbers 12 and verse number 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath He not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. We could preach a whole message on the fact that God heard it. Every time we murmur, every time we complain, every time we speak against the authority that God has put into our life, mark it down, God hears it. Verse number 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. You can almost picture this, can't you? Get out here. God's saying, all three of you, get out here. They all come out. You can almost see the scene. And the Lord came down from the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and He called Aaron and Miriam. All right, here's three of them. And He says, all right, Aaron and Miriam, get up here. Get up here right now. And they come forth. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant, Moses, God's servant, the person that I put in charge, God is saying, I put Moses in charge. He was faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. After the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the story goes further. And the cloud departed off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us. Where have we have done foolishly, and wherein we've sinned? What's he doing? He's saying, Hey, have mercy on us. What do? They cry unto the Lord. Moses cries unto the Lord, and God heals her after 7 days, I believe it is. Yep, verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Think about this. You're one of those people. You're out in your tent. You're like, hey, man, what's the hold up? You ever try to go somewhere and somebody's holding up the show? You know, who is it? We're all ready to go. We're in the car. Where's so-and-so? Can you imagine the conversation maybe that took place here in one of the tents over yonder? Why are we here so long? What's up? I mean, you know, we're here for quite some time. And the word spreads. We're waiting. Miriam. Miriam and Aaron. They spoke against Moses. See, and they wait 7 days. I mean, there's a lot of things we could say about this, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't know about you, but I look at this pages of the Word of God here. It's a big deal to God. You see, God ordains leadership. God put every dad in charge of every home here. And it is a big deal to God. God said, hey, you murmur, you complain, Miriam and Aaron, you murmur against my servant. And I'm not happy about it. And so much so, Miriam gets leprosy. It's a big deal when we refuse to follow God's captain on the ground. Numbers 14, flip over just a page. Numbers chapter number 13, they go in and they spy out the land. 10 were bad and 2 were good. You all know the song. We could sing it. We'd sing it if we had time, but we don't have time. They come back and they give a bad report, the 10. The last verse of Numbers 13, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 14 and verse number 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Moses was their leader. They send the spies in, and unfortunately 10 of them come back and say, man, there's giants. Oh man, we're dead. We're all dead. And the whole crowd follows their leader, their example, and they start murmuring against Moses. And they say in verse number 4, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Man, we're going to put somebody else in charge. Let's find us another captain because these bozos don't know what they're doing. That's my interpretation there, a little loose translation. How about that? These guys don't know what they're doing. I mean, these guys are going to get us killed. Let's follow another leader. I want you to see what God says in Numbers 14 and verse number 27. The Bible says in 14 and verse 2, the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. But in chapter 14 and verse 27, let me get you a running start and look at verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against, what's the next word? Me. But hold on just a second. They were murmuring against Aaron and against Moses. I mean, not murmuring against God. And God says, no, no, no. God says, look, you're murmuring against the people, the individual that I put in your life to lead you into the promised land. The agent, my agent. Yes, he's not perfect. None of us are. But this is the person that I put in your life to lead you into the promised land. And you're murmuring and you're complaining. And your complaining is not just with them. Your complaining is with me. God says, hey, This is a big deal. We read the rest of the Scriptures. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which you have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. They shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be waste in the wilderness, and you know the rest of the story. What are we saying? It's a big deal to God. When God puts an agent in our lives, He puts someone in your life, young people. He gave you a mom and a dad. You didn't have any choice in the matter. God gave you the father you have. He gave you the mother you have. And it's a big deal when you disobey. It's a big deal when you murmur and complain and grumble with one another. Oh, mom asked me to take out the trash. That's not fair. Dad asked me to do whatever. And mom and dad don't hear you. But let me tell you, mark it down. God Almighty hears it. He hears the murmuring. He hears the complaining. And He says, you know what? You're not murmuring against mom and dad. It's not just a little thing. You're murmuring against me. You're complaining against the authority that God put in your life. It's a big deal to God. I want you to look at first, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll come back to Samuel if we have time. You can finish the study if I don't finish it. How about that? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse number 16. O King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26 and 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. Uzziah, look, you're the king and you're not supposed to do this. We're God's agents. God has set it up, not that they were any better than anybody else, but God has set it up that the priests were the ones to burn the incense. And they try to resist and withstand Uzziah the king and say, Uzziah, don't do this. What does Uzziah do? He ignores God's agents. He ignores God's men, the priests. In the middle of the verse, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Uzziah, get out of here! They're standing in God's stead. Hey, get out! God has ordained that we do this. And Uzziah, in verse 19, the big king, he was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the agents that God had in his life here, while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Why? He ignored the agents God put in his life. You see, the priests were God's men. He ignored him. He said, I'm going to do what I want to do. How many a young person can get that attitude? I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nobody's going to tell me I can't do it. I can't wait till I get out of this house. I get out of this house, man. I get me a car. And man, I'll do my own thing. And man, everything's going to be fine and dandy till we get the first car payment. You know, everything's going to be cool when I don't have any. You know what? There'll always be authorities in our lives. It made no sense to me. I know I've shared this before. You know, some of the most rebellious teenagers that I pastored in youth groups over the years. I'm telling you, the most rebellious kids. They wouldn't listen to mom. They wouldn't listen to dad. And I'm not saying this is the case with everybody. Everybody that does what I'm about to tell you they did, you already know it. They joined the army. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Coming to youth activity, say, you know, you can't really wear this in youth activity. Yeah, right, man, come. And he said, forget this. Who cares about this youth activity? They're not going to listen to mom. They're not going to listen to dad. They're going to do their own thing. And then they graduate and they join the army. And I laugh. Yeah, I'm sure that's God's will for you. Yep, that's right. He'll tell you what to do from sun up to sundown. Yeah, you're your own man. Yeah. God puts parents in your lives, young people, to help you. You see, but my mom and dad aren't perfect. None of us are. But God gave them a uniform. And see, you salute that uniform. If the President of the United States walked into this auditorium, as much as I may disagree with what he's doing, you bet your bottom dollar I would stand and try to respect him because he's the President of the United States of America, and I hope you would do the same thing. Because he wears the uniform. You see, but I disagree with him. It doesn't matter. He wears the uniform. It's a big deal to God. Let's look at Acts chapter number 5. We'll move into the New Testament. I'll throw out some of these. We may look at one more after this. Acts chapter number 5. We look at the early New Testament church. And it's interesting. You know this story. And probably you've seen this before. Acts chapter number 5 and verse 1. And a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter saith, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? They bring it down, and it's just Peter, some other men, other church leaders. Here it is. We sold our land, and here's all the money. And they lie. Whilst it remained, he says in verse 4, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own? Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see it? You see, old Ananias and Sapphira said, hey, we'll get together here, and we'll sell this land, and we're going to give some of the money to the church. We'll tell them we gave the whole thing. Make us all look good. And they're in cohorts, and you know the story, both of them. God judges on the spot. Bam! She comes in a few hours later. I'm convinced she was shopping with that money. And bam! The same thing happens to her. But Peter, the leader in the local church, says to Ananias and Sapphira, look, you haven't lied unto men. You see, when we sin, when a child disobeys their parents, they think, it's just my mom and dad. Hey, my mom and dad, they did this. I mean, they did this to me. I don't know where we get this in our mind. We talked about this in Sunday school. That one sin equals another sin. And they cancel out somehow. If the wife's in the flesh, the husband can be in the flesh. Years ago, we counseled with a couple. And the men went out. Man, it's going to blow your mind. But this is the big version of what we do on the little scale. The man cheated on his wife. So you know what the wife did? She said, I'm going to go cheat on my husband. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense at all. But when a sibling is in the flesh and another sibling says, you're in the flesh, I'm going to be in the flesh. You know, he hit me, I hit him back. When a husband's in the flesh and a husband reacts to the wife thinks, I'm going to react back. And so what do we have? One sin and another sin and another sin. Oh, it displeases God. It's sin against God. And these guys, here, Peter. No, you're not sinning just against Peter. You're sinning against Almighty God. And it's a big deal to God. He puts that agent in our life to help us to be what God wants us to be. You say, yeah, but they're not perfect. That doesn't matter. God will use their weaknesses in your life. See, God will use them in your life to help you be what God wants you to be. By the way, God will use you in their life. I'll tell you this, I've learned a lot about the Lord from my wife. I've learned a lot about submitting to God and giving my rights up to God from my wife. You say, why? Because there's a day she'll say, hey, can we do this? We're going to do this. Oh, it's great and grand and glorious. And then the world, yeah, we're going to do this. Whatever it is, some great idea. And I'll say, honey, that's not what God wants us to do. Okay. What do you think God wants us to do? And I think, wow, you know what? That submission teaches me how submissive I need to be to God. See, God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing, and He's trying to help us be what He wants us to be. It's a big deal. 2 Samuel chapter 1. We'll look at half of an illustration. I don't know where we get these things in our mind. You know, there's little sins and big sins. I think if every time we realized we sin against a holy God, when we sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The Bible says in Psalm 97 and verse 10, "You that love the Lord hate evil." By the way, we need to get to a point in our lives where we're broken over our sin. Hey, you ever say this? Sorry. What in the world is that? We ought to get to a point where we say as the psalmist, hey, you know what? I did wrong. I sinned against You and I'm sorry. And I want You to forgive me. I was unkind. I was mean. I was in the flesh. And we like to justify our sin. I'm kind of tired today, honey, and I guess I probably shouldn't have said that. What is that? Making ourselves feel good. Our sin. What caused Jesus to hang on the cross of Calvary? Our sin, when Jesus bore our sin on the cross, He cried and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? God the Father had to turn His back on His own Son because He bore in His body your sins and my sins. 2 Samuel chapter 1, you're familiar with this passage as well. In David's life, there were a couple opportunities where David had a chance. Saul was chasing him, wanted to kill him. You know the story, David had an opportunity on a couple of occasions to kill Saul. And he used the phrase, "Don't touch God's anointed." In this passage of Scripture, verse 1 of 2 Samuel, "It came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came to pass even on the third day that, behold, a man came out from the camp that Saul, from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David, and he fell to the earth and did obeisance. I'm reading too fast. And David said unto him, from whence cometh thou? And he said, out of the camp of Israel, my escape. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David sent the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, an Amalekite. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live. After that he was fallen. I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord." He killed Saul, the king, David's enemy. And David took hold of his clothes and rent them. And likewise all the men that were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan. And David, verse 13, said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he said, I am a son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed. And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. King David understood. Being chased by a not right with God, Saul. A man that we could say in New Testament terms, I guess, if you want to say he was a believer, and that's up for grabs. Operating in the flesh. David had every human reason to rejoice. Really, David had every human reason to take things in his own hands. Yeah, but God, Saul was really, I mean, he made my life miserable. Yeah, but God, Saul, I mean, look, I live in a cave. I mean, yeah, but God, look at what he did to all those priests. He killed them all. But David said, no. God, you set him up as the king. You set him up as the agent in my life, and I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to let you take care of it, God. He had the right attitude. Young people, I want to tell you something. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that it be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I've said this before, the quantity of your life is contingent upon your obedience to your mom and dad. God set it up. The quality of your life, not only that thou mayest live long on the earth, but that it may be well with thee. The quality of your life. How much you enjoy life, how much you see the blessing of God on your life is contingent upon your obedience to the agent that God has put in your life. It is absolutely vital that we see this. God's the one that set that mom and dad in your home. And God's the one that says, you need to obey. Let me say this, and we'll be finished. Romans 13. Actually, let's turn there. We got a minute. We'll look at Romans 13. I know the context of Romans 13 is in relation to government. We see the same principle. We could preach for another half an hour as we look at the Word of God on this. But I think we get the point. Romans 13 and verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It's a big deal. God puts authorities in our lives, government. Sometimes, for the men, you got a boss. Your boss ever unreasonable? He ever ask you to do stuff that don't make sense? You want to get with the other guy and say, you know what, this is the dumbest, stupidest thing that I've ever had to do. What in the world? That guy didn't get a good night's sleep and ba-da-da-da-da. That's not make God happy. Ladies, your husbands are ordained of God in your life. When you said, I do, Beth, do your part. Reverence and obey. Say, yeah, but he's hard to live with. I don't see any fine print there in the Word of God that says you don't have to if he's hard to live with. By the way, your walk with God will be a conviction to him. See, how is an unsaved husband won to Christ? By the conversation of the saved wife. It's a big deal. God set it up, not me. Young people, when you sin against your mom and dad, you disrespect, you grumble, you raise your voice, you murmur, you complain, you are sinning against a holy God. God said it, not me. The agents that God has set here on earth in our lives. That's about for prayer.